The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2014 Annual Conference, copyright 2014. If you have purchased this recording, you are free to make multiple copies for your school's use. You may not sell copies of the audio or post copies on the internet. Order additional conference recordings from this year's conference or previous conferences at store.accsedu.org. Find out more about the Association of Classical and Christian Schools at www.accsedu.org. Thank you.
Hi, Salwete. This is Oral Latin in the Classroom for the elementary school teacher. My name is Anita Wasdahl. I come from the Ambrose School in Idaho, and I teach humanities, 7th grade, which is the ancients, as well as Latin from, and I've taught Latin from the 3rd grade, which is when we begin our Latin program, all the way through the 8th grade, which is our last year of mandatory Latin. I'm also the school's Latin department head. Over the years, when I started teaching, I came in and I taught fairly traditionally and successfully, but I noticed that as kids were going through the Latin program, only a very few students actually seemed to love the language. Some students, you know, when they say they love Latin, they actually love the teachers. They also love the classroom environment. Some students love being cleverer than others, and Latin is an excellent way to prove it. There are a whole lot of students who are just quiet, diligently do their work, and do well, for the most part, and then there were always those frustrated students. And it's those frustrated students and some of those diligent students that eventually become hostile to Latin by the time they get into their 7th and 8th grade years. And that is what I saw, and it worried me. And I found this quote written by an author who I suspect was one of those dutiful but quiet students. He said, "I was in the library in 1915 studying a Latin poet, and all of a sudden I thought, war can't be this bad. So I walked out and enlisted." Lester Pearson. I began to think, I need to rethink the way I teach Latin. Latin really needs to be taught to young students in a simple and engaging manner. And I became convinced that the best way to do this was to teach through the use of oral Latin. Now, Dorothy Sayers, she says, memorize, memorize, memorize. And I agree. But are we memorizing the right material in the right manner? Is our memory work persuading our students into a path of language acquisition? And I thought about this because as I was thinking about how to teach, I came upon Terence, who says, "Children should be led into the right paths, not by severity, but by persuasion." Okay? So how do we persuade, and is our work persuading our students into that path? If in our teaching we focus primarily on the memorization of grammar paradigms, vast amounts of unrelated vocabulary, and advanced grammar that our young students are not ready for, even in English, we might teach our students something about the Latin language, but we will limit our effectiveness in helping our students acquire Latin. So we are frustrating far more students than we are persuading.
Are we really teaching to the frame of the child? Are we using the Poole-Parrott stage to its full advantage? We need to engage our students, not merely to hear with their ears, but to participate with their mouths. We must create a rhythm and regularity for Latin to sink in. Oral Latin is a powerful means of capturing the hearts of the student. Now imagine it's the first day of third grade class. Your students have never encountered Latin before. They are sitting in their seats with eager anticipation. They are not excited about the fact that they will do better on their SATs because of this class and get into the college of their choice. They are not excited about the idea of better understanding English grammar by studying Latin grammar, and they are not excited about the idea of learning the value of hard work through Latin. What are they excited about? They're excited about the idea of being able to talk with their friends in Latin. Better yet, their parents won't understand them. This idea of a secret language is a huge motivator to our younger students. We have this opportunity to capitalize on this delight using oral Latin. Latin is a means of communication. Children inherently understand this. But we don't teach Latin so our students can have a secret language, right? We know Latin is our ability to allow the past to communicate with us, that the Latin language links great minds from the past to us and allows us to listen in and know their thoughts. Latin is the voice of our history. As Luke Henderson, Wonder Teacher from Santa Monica, California, tells us, Latin reminds us who we are. This is why we teach Latin. And we can combine the two motivations, though. We can have our purpose for teaching Latin, and we use the passions of the child to help him achieve a goal that he's really too immature to appreciate at the moment. We don't have to force Latin down their throats. Children have a God-given love of learning. We don't want to murder that love. In traditional Latin pedagogy, we teach only to the intellect. We teach heads and not bodies. And in doing so, we teach the wrong lessons in life. In great cities, men are brought together by the desire of gain. They are not in a state of cooperation, but of isolation as to the making of fortunes. And for all the rest, they are careless of their neighbors. Christianity teaches us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Modern society acknowledges no neighbor. Benjamin Disraeli. Now relate this to our classrooms of Latin. Children are brought together for gain. We usually teach Latin from teacher to student with very little student-to-teacher interaction and almost no student-to-student interaction. Students sit in a state of isolation, not cooperation. Without meaning to, we communicate that who they are sitting next to is not important. We tell them to be nice and kind to each other, not to hinder each other's learning. But this is a very passive, as opposed to proactive, loving of neighbor. Through our daily lessons, what is it we are encouraging our children to love? Vast amounts of head knowledge? Pride in our own intelligence? Or loving our neighbor as ourselves? The most important fact about the subject of education is that there is no such thing. Education is not a subject, and it does not deal in subjects. It is instead a transfer of a way of life. Methods matter. The way we teach forms both the student and the teacher. Our primary means of teaching grammar school Latin uses the methods of our universities, except for grammar has been broken down into smaller chunks and vocabulary into not so small chunks. Teachers lecture about the language, and students are expected to swallow with haste, as if they are miniature college students. However, learning a language is less of a cognitive activity than an absorption of understanding. To achieve proficiency, we must use the language and not talk about it. If the misguided quest for head knowledge becomes a hindrance not only to acquiring Latin, but also to the fellowship in our classroom. When we teach Latin as an oral language, as a form of communication, the interaction itself allows our students the opportunity to consider each other, to build empathy for each other, to encourage each other, and to love each other. Interaction becomes teacher to student, student to teacher, and student to student. And this fellowship also allows our student to absorb and practice the language, and it definitely stimulates them to better know the language. As classical Christian teachers, we are seeking to encourage a life rightly lived with joy. Latin is a language. We can have fun with it, and we can use it to encourage a Christ-like spirit. Oral Latin is a powerful means of capturing the hearts and ordering the affections of a child. And we at Ambrose were purposefully moving towards a more oral use of the language, and as an increasing number of classical Christian schools are doing. And I'd like to share with you a little bit about what we are doing, how we are doing it, and how we are accomplishing our goal of teaching Latin so that the students know Latin and not simply about Latin. Once again, the purpose of learning Latin is to know Latin. And using oral Latin, we want to work within the frame of our students by engaging and guiding their passions, and ultimately to provide our students with the ability to communicate with the past through fluent reading. There are three basic tools to aid a teacher in the use of oral Latin. They are reading, writing, and speaking. Now, of these three, speaking best fits the frame of the young student. If you remember, students inherently understand Latin to be a means of oral communication. And we also want to start moving away from the exclusive use of teacher to student communication and interaction in our classroom. We want to encourage the students to teacher and student to student interaction. Speaking is the best way to do this. There are two types of speaking that I'm going to cover, and that is song and prose. And when I say song, I do not mean songs about Latin, but songs that are just in Latin, all right? And there aren't many out there that are geared for a young student. So these are two of the songs that we sing at our school. And first, a translation of Jesus Loves Me, Me Jesus Ama. And the second is a song to the tune of Ferajaca, or however you say it in French. Okay, and Mane Est. And singing provides the repetition necessary to develop the recognition of language patterns that are needed to learn a language. And songs, though, are not thoughtless, out-of-context memory work. This is repetition that engages the heart and the passions of the student. Song persuades a child into the path of language acquisition. Quality singing in a classroom requires community effort also. Rounds and harmonies really help a student understand the importance of unity. Singing together encourages a love of community and beauty. this delight in the song is what really properly orders those loves of a student. All right. And aside from song, there's prose. Now you may be thinking, there's no way, which I mean, by prose, I mean communication, conversation in Latin. And you may be thinking, there's no way my students can converse in Latin. Or you may be thinking, there's no way you can converse and carry on a class in Latin, okay? There are ways around this. And the first is you start small, you start wherever you are, right? With what you know. In my classroom, every Latin classroom I teach in, I put up these question words, these interrogatives. These are just the ones that I think I will use the most. And they have their English translation up there also. It is imperative. Can you guys read those okay there? Yeah. It's just the interrogatives, like qualis, quat, quis, unde, with their English translations and little writing underneath. But the English translation is there because it's imperative that students understand between 90 to 95% of everything you say in Latin. Oral Latin is not about total immersion, and it is not about doing away with English, right? I also, on my walls, have what I call word walls, vocabularies. And the first is color words. Now, most of those colors are not even in our text that we use. They're there because those are words that students want to use and can easily use. And this provides them some speaking material without having to teach it formally, right? The other chart are vocabulary words from the lesson we are currently using. Notice these words don't have their English translation, but anytime before, whenever I introduce any of these words up here, I will write the vocabulary word on the board and write the English translation and leave it there for the entire lesson. Okay, so students know and get really familiar with that. Word wall, these chart vocabulary, just posting your vocabulary words are a great resource to both the teacher and the student. It reminds you of what words you can use when you're speaking to the student, and it reminds the students of what words they can use. I think that we don't use these enough in our classroom as an aid to the teacher. We think they're not going to learn. But they will. Now, I'm going to do something here, make this a workshop, as it's called in the conference. And I'm going to ask you all to pretend you are little third grade students, all right? And that you've all had 1 week of Latin only, all right? So your knowledge is very limited. You know a few words, including words like discipuli, puer, puella, well, out, not out, well, est and non est, right? And, and in this demonstration, I am going to teach you 3 vocabulary words using oral Latin. And we're going to do lectus, crassus, et tenuis, all right? I'm going to demonstrate a technique that is called circling. But before I do that, of course, these are the words I'm going to teach. I'm going to first write them on the board and their English definitions. Notice I don't do crassus a um, but the whole word, so that students really understand that. There's something else that you have learned, by the way. You have learned that when I make a statement in Latin, everyone, each one of you, third grade students,
is required to look me in the eye and say, "Oh," as if that is the most interesting statement you have heard all day. And the second rule you have learned is, if I ask a question, you must all answer that question together, looking me in the eyes. All right? So, on to circling, this technique. Circling consists of making a statement, asking a yes and no question. Now, my yes and no question, in order to have everybody answer together in unison, we have to pick which word you're going to use for yes and no. So I have just picked Itha and Minime, and these words would actually be posted up on the wall and just left there. All right. After a yes or no question, I'll ask an or type question. And then finally, I'll ask an interrogative question. For vocabulary, very often it is quid, what, right? So what I'm going to do is start with my statement. Now, do you all remember what you're going to do when I make a statement in Latin? So I will start. Discipuli, lectus. Lectus est. Oh. Oh, bene. That was actually pretty good. Better than I expected. A discipuli. Est ne lectus? Now, I will tell you what you as third grade students would do. You would say, oh. And you would do this too, because I also teach my students, when you do not understand what I am saying in Latin, you will do, you're over my head here, all right? And this is a great thing to teach students to do, because we forget how little our students know, and we start going off, and this is completely reminding me, pulled me back in, oh yes, I need to teach this, because basically, you have not learned what esne means. So what I would do is teach grammar in context. So I would say, ah, esne, esne. I would run to the board, write esne on it, is it. Right? And I would repeat, discipuli, lectus est. Oh. Lectus est. Esne lectus? Now, there's their yes or no. So you would say, itte or minime. It would be itta. Bene. Lectus est. Notice the repetition. I will repeat that statement over and over because I want you to absorb that. Right? Discipuli, esne lectus, well, puer. Oh, I forgot my no question, didn't I? Okay, we'll do them. It's actually important because I'll say, discipuli, esne puer. It would be minime. Minime est lectus est. Now I would go on to my or question. And you would answer, at this point, the proper word. So I would say, esne puer? Well, lectus. Lectus. Ah, bene, lectus est. Discipuli, quid est. Quid, right? There you go, quid. You don't know what quid is. So I would run to my interrogatives, and I would talk about quid. Oh, quid, quid. Explain quid, have the students practice just saying that word so they're a little familiar with it, and move on back to circling. Discipuli, but I'd back up always a little bit to remind after every. These little, when I explain esne at the or quid, all explanations must be 2 minutes or less for this young age. If you talk more than 2 minutes about the enclitic ne, you lose it, right? They're not there. You're talking too much. We let our students start making their own connections too. This is one thing about Latin that I see. we don't let our students make connections. We let them make connections in all sorts of classes, but not in Latin. We tell them every single thing. Let them start making connections in Latin. It can be done. And then you will tell them after a bit, okay, for some times. So I'd say, discipuli, lectus est.
Oh.
Quid est?
Lectus.
Ah, bene, lectus est. All right. Now, we have two more words. We're not actually going to do all those words, okay? But we're going to, in order to teach those two words, I would say, you know, I want to keep my students engaged. So what I would do is I would actually teach another word that's not in our text. I would something that would engage the students, and then a word that they probably would like to use throughout the entire year. All right? So I'll teach them the Latin word for frog. Okay? Rana. And I would write that on the board, rana, frog. And I would have them practice rana, you know, let them say it. And then I would do the same. I would circle the word rana. Rana es. Es ne rana? No, rana es. Yeah, es ne rana, es ne lectus. Okay, you see how you review doing that too then? You start building on the word, on the words you know. Es ne rana, vel lectus, quid est. All right, so they now, you all now know rana, all right? And we're going to move on. So the next two words are adjectives. So what I'm going to do is change technique just a little bit here. I'm going to ask you all a question. And because this is not, I have not made a statement, so you cannot make a unified answer, this is the point where people get to raise their hands and put and provide an answer, right? The more Latin you know, the more creative it can be. You actually want to seek to have fun with the students. If they give a really humorous answer, let it go, okay, type thing. So, discipuli, qualis. I would also go back to my word wall and teach qualis, what sort of. We're teaching an adjective, right? So we want to go qualis and go back. Make my statement. Qualis rana est. Discipuli, qualis rana est. Any volunteers? Ah, yes.
Rana est crassa.
Rana. Okay, now we have a student here saying, rana est crassa, but you're third grade and you've only had 1 week of Latin. And I can guarantee you'll just look at me in terror, but you'll say, crassus. All right? Right? And we will do, now, say she had said one of my color words, or tenuis. I was actually looking for crassa, right? So, but I would say, non est, rana non est tenuis, right? And then I would move on and pick somebody else. Sometimes you can let the student use their answer, especially as it moves on, but sometimes you want to teach a particular thing with this question, such as the case here. So, say, oh, so we will assume you said crassus, all right? And I will do what any parent would do if their child said something incorrect in English. I would just repeat it back correctly. Ah, bene, rana crassa est. Let students make their own connections about that. For now. Ah, rana crassa. Now, back to my statement. Discipuli, rana crassa est.
Ooh.
Ah, esne rana crassa? Ita. Rana crassa est. Esne rana penwith? Miname. Rana crassa est. Esne rana tenuis? Well, crassa.
rana crassa est. Discipuli, qualis rana est? Crassa. Rana crassa est. Bene. All right? So here we've seen vocabulary words introduced in with circling, adjectives. I would like to just introduce case usage in now. And so I will start with my statement. Discipuli, rana crassa in lecto est. Ooh, this is what I would get, actually, ooh, with this right there, right? In lecto, what is in lecto? That's not a word they know, right? Grammar pop-up, that's what they're called, the two-minute or less grammar. I would write in lecto on the board along with in on the bed. Right? And then we've settled which word that we're using at the moment, right? So I'd write in on the bed. And I would go back. And 2 minutes or less to explain why that in makes lectus turn into lecto. All right? Discipuli, rana crassa in lecto est. Discipuli, esne rana crassa in lecto? Esne rana crassa in puero? Now notice what I did. In puero. Okay, they would probably make that connection. If they don't, you explain it really quickly for them if someone raises their hand. And then I would go on once again with all my questioning. Very, very good. You guys do a good job of being third grade students. All right. And you pass slide. But look at all that was covered in this little demonstration. All right? It was far more than three vocabulary words. We covered the enclitic, ne. We covered adjective noun agreement, case usage, interrogatives, and best of all, you guys got to participate in your own learning. And more so as the Latin increases, right? At first glance, we were in the teacher to student mode, and the improvement, much more student to teacher interaction. But as students start coming up with ideas that you can use, it becomes even more and more student to student interaction because students start building off of what each other say. All right? When students start seeing each other answering well and that they're making the class more interesting, this really builds a sense of community, right? They're not competing. They're all working together to give funny answers and to make. You can actually use this whole circling technique once you get used to it and students do it to tell an entire story, all right, with students, kind of like a Mad Lib type thing with students interacting. So it definitely builds a sense of satisfaction as students are able to give their input, to work with each other, to make the class more interesting, and it brings a sense of joy into this classroom. The students have also begun to acquire Latin, right? Allowing the students to experience give and take with the language in a repetitive, successful, creative manner offers a powerful means of capturing the heart and engaging the passions of the child. The most helpful ideas for implementing conversational Latin with this method comes from the TPRS community, which is called Total Proficiency Through Reading and Storytelling. I think I might have that in your hand, not your handouts, but in the notebooks. Not sure. I do have some resources in the notebooks
that are the syllabi, which are include that. And I encourage everyone here to look up those resources that I have put in. And if you can find a TPRS workshop in your area, I really encourage you to go to it this summer, if you can. It will change the way you teach Latin. It will. And by following this simple pattern of a statement, yes and a no question, an or question, and an interrogative, all of a sudden, you are conversing in Latin. Now, it's very simple conversing, but you're doing it. Your students should be using oral Latin their first week of school. Get them started right away. It's a great, and it's so doable. But even easier, actually, than conversing in Latin is reading Latin, right? Already prepared stories, which is the second tool that we have, the reading. Reading out loud is a powerful tool in helping our students acquire Latin. Reading is actually more effective in the teaching of both grammar and vocabulary than isolated instruction in those areas. Lots of reading, all right? The readings must be only slightly above a student's level, a lot like the speaking. A student should not be struggling through the text. So we need to read Latin with our students, and we need to be reading stories and discussing them in Latin. So this idea of story and discussion, always orally. We need to remember Latin is a language, and we lose the heart of the student when we treat it as some sort of artifact in a museum, out of context, untouchable, you know, only to be looked at, and something only those experts get to play with. Stories are important. Lessons of wisdom have the most power over us when they capture the heart through the groundwork of a story, which engages the passion. Lawrence Stern. Initially, stories should be read aloud by the teacher with inflection and emotion, so students will learn to imitate that. Later, students will read the stories again, always out loud. Sometimes for warm-ups, I have my students come in and sit down and say, okay, read this story that we've already read it aloud in class. But whisper read it. They're still doing it out loud. So there'll be all my students sitting there whisper reading a story. It works. You don't want them reading in their heads. They'll just skip those endings because that's what we do in English. Okay. Constant repetition is necessary. A student should begin to hear it when an error occurs. If a student says, that doesn't sound right, they are really absorbing the language. Right. And once a story has been read at least three times, you can discuss it. And there's two types of discussions, teacher-led and student-to-student discussion. I want to talk about the student-to-student discussion a little bit. And so I have to have a story. This is a story for our fourth grade level Latin student, and this is pars ultra, so it has a first part, so I'll just give you a little bit of a backstory. Our girl, Laura, here has been kidnapped by pirates, Magnus Pirata et Parvus Pirata, tied up on their ship, and they're gleeful, and she is unhappy. Now, I'm going to show you how we'll discuss page 28, which is the second page right here. So I'll read it first so you can hear it. It's Ecce, Laura caprum spicet. Laeta non est capra, quia parvus parata eam quoque capit. Capra eum non amat. Laura,
veni capra, veni ad me.
Ad puellam capra venit. Laura cantat. Capra ridet. Magnus parata non canta, sed stat. Magnus parata parvum paratum paratam videt. Magnus parata. Ubi est capra? Capram edamus. Ehu capra plorat. All right, so there's the page of the story. And then I will have students, just whoever they're sitting next to, pair up. Each student gets a worksheet. These are two separate worksheets. One student gets partner A, the other gets partner B worksheet.
These have different questions on them, so they can ask each other questions. So the bold is the question, and the regular font is possible answers and page numbers. So if a student gets lost, they don't have to just be told the answer. They can look it up and do it. They can look at the page and look for the answer. All right. So it's never just telling. For example, so here on page 28, student B will start. Student A always starts, but we're now on student B's turn. And student A does not see the question. They must listen, right? So it is, quid Laura videt? Possible answer, Laura capram videt. And then student A asks, est ne laeta capra? Dinime capra plorat. Okay? I have, actually, a very short video of two students engaging in this activity. And, now I don't see how to make it go. Okay, so first, it doesn't have the little bar. First of all, these students are discussing a different story than the one we just read. I actually wanted two fourth grade students, and so I ran to the teacher and said, I need some of your Latin students to demonstrate this reading thing. So I asked them what story they were on. He told me what story they were on, and I ran and typed up some questions for them. And then I got these kids, and I'm not their teacher, all right? I grab them out of math class and take them to this room and put them down and say, you're going to read the story and you're going to discuss it. Which, now they've read the story already, all right? But they haven't seen the discussion questions, so it's new to them. And because I did it so unceremoniously, they're really nervous, all right? But they rise to the challenge, right? And I want you to note the grammar they use as they are doing this discussion, student-to-student discussion. So.
Gorgias ad funem sali. Laetus est gorgias. Angela gorgium ad
funem. They're reading the story first.
Videt. Angela quoque bertum corpa folle ludere videt. Gorgias bertum corpa folle ludere non vide. Ehiu. Quid gorgius agit?
Gorgius ad funem salit.
Curtega.
Curtega. Quid Angela videt?
Angela gorgium videt. Angela gorgium salire ad funem salire videt.
Yes. Certe.
Quid angula quoque videt?
Angela quoque bertum corbifole ludere videt.
Gide.
Quid gorgius non videt?
Gorgius bertum non videt.
Yes.
Okay. So, I don't know if you noticed, but the student in the white shirt, he's actually a less apt student, and yet he was able to answer every single question with the correct endings, including an accusative plus infinitive ending, without looking at his book, all right? And I was like, whoa, this is beautiful. Okay, I'm doing that. He struggled. Nobody told him the answer, and he just needed time. That's all he needed, and he got there. So this is our example for this. And stories really do, they allow for repetition that engages and leads a student into the path of language acquisition. That is why he could answer those questions. Right. The third tool that we use for using oral classroom, oral Latin in the classroom, is writing. Most student writing at a young age should be used as another opportunity for oral Latin. Dictation and just regular workbook exercises are great opportunities for this. Dictation, you should be using dictation in your classroom in Latin. I dictate, say, three sentences. I dictate it each sentence three times. If a student doesn't hear it or doesn't follow along, I always give enough time. It's not trying to trick the student. If the student doesn't get it, they don't get it. And though, students still like it because I also let them self-correct their work. I don't usually grade a student's original work. I grade on the accuracy of their corrections. Self-correction does not create a lack of rigor. Instead, it encourages a love of attention. They know they can be successful if they just listen. And it allows a student to also see their mistakes immediately. How many times? You hand back a paper, a student will look at the grade and put it in their binder. Self-correction also allows for oral repetition, because I've dictated a sentence three times, they've heard it three times, and then I say, who can tell me sentence number one? And a student stands up and tells me sentence number one. They've heard it four times. They've written it one time. I write it on the board. They have to look at the writing on the board, and then they have to look back down at theirs. They look at the reading. They read it three times, at least. All right? A lot of repetition that develops the needed language patterns, right, that hearing them. And not only that, it's fun. They really enjoy it. Students are competing against themselves, and it's competition that has a high probability of success. This is an example of our workbook. And you'll notice this is fourth grade still. And you notice the top is dictation exercise, spaces just for dictation. So this a student has done the dictation. And then this middle chunk there, the last one is a listening exercise. I'll say sentences orally, and they have to put the number of the sentence into the appropriate picture. And the middle one is simple translation, all right, from English into Latin. I have students also self-correct these. I'll say, who can tell me how to say it is easy to walk? All right, student raise your hand. I write it on the board. They check their work.
Now, notice this student gleefully has put everyone she's gotten wrong on the side, but these are actually 100% work. This is actually 100% work. We want to do everything we can to create student success at this young age. They have a lot of Latin that's mandatory in the years ahead. Make them successful in where they are now. It is a supreme art of the teacher to awaken joy and creative expression and knowledge. Albert Einstein. Oral Latin accomplishes this by teaching Latin through the experiences and the passions of the student. Oral Latin is a powerful means of capturing the hearts of our students. Okay. Now, if you're wondering where those stories and such came from, I just wrote those. Okay, and the workbook exercises.
Are there any questions about that? The stories and the workbooks, I wrote those, and I'm hoping to publish them at some point.
That'd be really great.
And the readers, I actually brought a few samples along. They are actually drafts that my headmaster had me print all of a sudden because I wasn't ready for it. So they're disasters. Typed out, all right? So as long as I'd be willing to share those, as long as you understand all those mistakes are because I had only quickly typed them in and was not prepared to print. And then after I looked, because I had only done it, typed them in, I hadn't got over it, and I thought, well, they can't be that bad. They were. Okay, yes. In what sense? You mean like on the workbooks?
In the workbooks, yes.
Pretty soon they start learning that it doesn't matter because they're not graded on their right answer. Okay? And they start seeing everybody else being very comfortable with fixing their workbook. Now, I always encourage a student to circle their wrong answer and not erase it and to write above. But all those students like you, I see them busily erasing their answers and putting the perfect answer and writing -0. I don't care as long as they get it, right? So because I usually grade, not always, I do assessments where we don't go over the answers. But usually I grade on how well they're listening because in the elementary years, it's the listening that hinders students the most. It's not their actual ability. Yes? The assessments actually look just like the workbook. Not so much the translation. You do a little more difficult, and then you make the assessment a little easier. But I have the row of pictures, and I'll do like oral assessment with that, so I wouldn't have them grade perhaps those pictures. That would be the assessment. Did they understand that? Yes. We don't. This is it. And I would say it's successful. I would say it's more successful. This is grammar school. We move into a more traditional in sixth grade.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yes.
No.
Well, the new students all jump in anyway.
Yes.
But I would... We have been doing it 3 years, all right, and I started with the younger, so actually we haven't had those sixth graders are coming this year, all right? Yes?
Do you have any suggestions
I think the questioning, even with the vocabulary, and letting students participate is a huge thing. And when we question, we have to question slow and let them get it. I just think even doing that with your vocabulary is a huge movement into the right area. I think reading is incredibly important. It's just that there's not that much out there right now. Yes. Yes, I have. We encourage tutoring.
Yes.
While they're taking Latin.
Okay.
Because this moves actually very slowly, both vocabulary-wise and grammar-wise, because they practice it. So they can do it. It's a little overwhelming, though, because the kids can rattle this off a little, and they're like, it scares them. All right, yeah. Okay, last one here. Yes. It's time to go.
Just looking at current Latin textbooks, you mentioned a huge chunk of vocabulary per unit, per chapter, per week. How much vocabulary do you add? So you gave us 3 words a day.
I would never add more than 3 words in a day, ever. And even though I did a few other than 3 words, if you noticed, yes, but that they're required to know. So like I taught frog, but that wouldn't be required knowledge. Yeah. So in a chapter, I actually do not do very many, and our chapters actually take several weeks. Vocabulary is easy to pick up. Grammar is not. Grammar is actually more important than the vocabulary. Because you can look up the vocabulary. So I'm all for learning the grammar and not so much vocabulary. Okay? I'll tell you what, so everyone could go. I'll answer questions. If you're interested in I just have a few, but if you're interested in to look at a possible reader, these are fourth grade, what they were doing there. I have some.